Every year the movie industry gives some awards to each other, which is an interesting phenomena. And I'm not a good movie goer because I can't sit still too well. And a lot of times what is happening in the movie is kind of, you know, on the raunchy side of life. But I happened to look up some awards given to movie folk. Best actor was Daniel Day-Lewis, who acted in the movie Lincoln. I guess he played Abraham Lincoln, so that was good for him. Then there was a movie called Life of Pi. The director of that one got Best Director, Life of Pi 3.14. If you saw that, Apple, Strawberry, and Blueberry. No, that'll be the sequel. The sequel, more exciting. And then the movie Argo got an award, I think, for some kind of action it did, based on a true story of hostages being released from Iran, actually helping to escape. So that, quite a thing. But if you were to make life itself a picture or a story of action between people, you know, from the beginning of time to the end of time, and even about the story told, you would have to say this. You would have to say, leading actor in life itself, Jesus, the Son of God, and all the actions that take place around the world. You know, he said not even a sparrow is going to fall to the ground without God's hand being involved in some manner. Or best director, who directs everything that goes on? I wonder who should we give that award to? It's Jesus, the Son of God. We give him honor again since he's directing our lives. And how about producer, you know, who creates everything and who makes everything hold together and keeps it going? Well, Jesus, the Son of God, he gets that award too. So we give the Lord credit for all the actions in history. And this, in the story that he tells today, he puts himself right in the middle of it. Jesus, the Son of God, he's the main character. And you and I are in this story too. This story is going to take place in the future, according to Jesus. It'll be at the end of time when a judgment happens. It involves you and me. It involves sheep and goats that stand for you and me. It involves hurting people. And it involves the King of Kings, Jesus, in this future event. So the true story is this. Jesus said he will separate people one from another. Okay, he'll do that. Like a shepherd separates sheep and goats. Sheep on the right, goats to the left. So one of the things we could do in the story is realize, well, there's not going to be sheep and goats in heaven, but there'll be differences like sheep and goats brought before God, and the sheep will go to heaven and the goats will not go to heaven. They'll go to eternal fire, as Jesus said. So we look at the passage, and what we want to do, just let God speak to us, do I sound more like a sheep or do I sound more like a goat in my everyday behavior and the priorities that I have in my life? You know, am I a sheep or am I a goat? Jesus gave this story as a warning about the future. A true story. Jesus the King says in the story to those on the right, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was lonely, left out like a stranger. I needed clothes, I was sick, I was in prison. And every time I was hurting, you helped me. You helped me. And the righteous sheep, they're a little bit of surprise about all that. They say, we don't remember anything like that. You know, we don't remember you, the king, being hungry and thirsty and in big trouble. And when did this happen? And Jesus says, whenever you did it for one of my brothers, overlooked and not helped, considered even least among their peers, you did it for me. And the story continues. Jesus says to people on the left, depart from me. Wow. It seems like one of the first times in history probably where Jesus, you know, says to a person in a permanent manner, depart from me. This curse occurs if somebody dies and rejects Christ. But this is in a finality of things. Get away from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire. I was hungry and thirsty. I was a stranger. I was sick. I needed help. You did not look after me. I got no help from you. And again, the response of the people is pretty much the same. We don't remember any of that. We just remember, you know, people to people interaction and needs. But the standard for the sheep and the goats were the same. In the story, Jesus said, when you didn't help the least, the overlooked, the left out, you didn't help me. And you go to eternal punishment, and the righteous go to eternal life. And when we hear that story, at least when I hear that story, again, true story happening in the future, it's one of the most, I think, convicting, intimidating, sobering stories Jesus ever told. And as I continue, I just wanted to ask if the ushers could open the doors a little bit and keep the air going. I like the portable fan like you, but we don't have to. So Jesus tells this story, sheep or goats. And every time I read it, there's a massive amount of conviction that happens, and it's almost like I die inside. Lord, so many times I act like a goat more than I act like a sheep. What am I going to do? I don't want to be a goat. And I don't want to have you ignored in my life like I seem to be ignoring all the needs around. Something like that goes on as a conversation between the Holy Spirit, God, and you, I think, when we read this story. And help me, save me, make me into a sheep. Make me into one who does minister to you and care about the hurting, because that's the way I'm ministering to you. Now, many times Bible scholars will read this story, and Bible scholars are fantastic. We thank God for them, but often they don't see the forest for the trees, as it were. About half the Bible scholars you might read on this passage will say something like this. You know, this refers to how God is going to judge how the Gentiles treat the Jewish people during the Great Tribulation. Did you pick that up in the passage that Jeff read? No, I'm being a little bit facetious here. And we respect people who come to that conclusion, although I disagree with them. But to get to that conclusion, you have to start from the Bible, and you have to go way, way over to Harrison City. And then you have to make a left through Jeanette, up past North Irwin, and then come all the way back down to the Bible and say, see, I told you this has to do with the tribulation and how Gentiles treat the Jews. Well, if you come to that conclusion, fantastic, and we give you, you know, masters in theology there or whatever. But we can read the story and get the main point that Jesus is making. Treat people like you would treat me. And don't ignore people, because if you do, you're ignoring me. Okay, we're going to go with that one application. So we do honestly say there's different ways of looking at the story, but there's really only one application. The application is our behavior shows where our heart is with God. Okay, and that's an application all of us can understand, be we having PhDs or having a sixth grade education there. Dallas Seminary, just to quote them, they said, the application of the passage is true for all believers in all ages. Okay, so we want to get that straight in case you're doing a little sidestep with God's word there. Now, Jesus is talking about the final judgment and a final exam, as it were. One type of that. Of course, He is the center of all the exams, where our heart is with Him. I had a teacher in high school, and some would do it in college. When the test was going to be really, really difficult, what they would do, they would say, I'm going to give you the test ahead of time. I'm going to give you this test a week ahead of time. Here's the questions. This is what you need to know. And this is what you need to do. Take it home. Make sure you know what's going on. Make sure you know what your responsibility is. And then when you come back, I give the final exam. Jesus is doing this for us here as an act of mercy. He's showing us, look, this is what the responsibility is by my people, the sheep, and the response also by the goats. Okay, and because God is God, He's the one true judge, everyone is still going to be somewhat surprised at the standards that he has. They're all tied up in his son again. Billy Graham wrote about this about the sheep and the goats. He's a faithful servant of God. He says, Jesus gives us a clear, strong warning about the murderous sin of omission in our lives. Omission is what I don't do. Failing to do good to people is like failing to do good to Jesus and to honor him in some way. Doing good to people is like doing good to Jesus. He said almost all Jesus' stories about judgment involve failing to do what's right. How true that is. Failing to receive Christ. That's deadly. You know, from there comes all kind of horrific activities and sin. The five foolish gals who were at a wedding getting ready and they didn't have oil for the lamps. God was saying, you need me in your life. You need my spirit in your soul, or you could be at all the celebrations you want. It's not going to do you any good. Failing to receive God. The unmerciful servant who was asked to pay the ultimate fine. Failing to forgive others. His was a great sin of omission. The rich man who ends up in hell in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. He just says, here, you can have my crumbs from the table and my dogs can lick your sores, but other than that, I don't want to help you. And so the neglect of God does send to everlasting punishment. Billy Graham said this, we need fewer words, more works to minister to Christ. That speaks to my soul as a Bible guy. You know, fewer words, more works to honor Christ. And God can empower us to do that. How exciting, you know, say 150 people here say, okay, we take the goodness of Christ and we pass it on to the needs, the multiple needs that are out there, physical needs, hunger, loneliness, emotional needs, isolation, prison, sickness, and then spiritual needs. People are hungry for God, hungry for forgiveness. Where are they going to go? The sheep go in the Lord's name. Charles Spurgeon, another preacher, comments on the passage, hard-headed, cigar-smoking Charles Spurgeon. He says this, God ordained that we prove our love for him not with words or tongue, but in truth and action. If we truly love Christ, we're going to love those who Christ loves. And we're going to see as precious those who Christ sees as precious. Okay, and that's all the people in need, as in the story of who's my neighbor in the Good Samaritan story. Now, one of the best ways you know to love you is to love somebody in your family. If somebody blesses your family, they say, here, you know, let me help you when you're not feeling good, or here's some food, or here's something. You say, man, that was just like help. That was just like helping me. I feel great because my family was blessed. Jesus is saying that when you do on behalf of others, that's his loved one that you're reaching out to and blessing. And as a matter of fact, one Christian had a dream. It was just his own imagination of heaven, you know. He says he dreamed through the grace of God, he went to heaven and he saw Jesus there. And Jesus had this coat on. And he's thinking, Jesus, what are you doing with that coat on in heaven? And he recognized the coat a little bit. And Jesus said, well, this is the coat you gave me, you know, when there was that need presented. And I want you to know that's what it meant to me. That's what Jesus is teaching here. That's how he takes it in the story. And so the standard is heart right with God, actions right with God. Heart true to God, actions true on behalf of others. And you take a fantastically wonderful, endless way to serve Christ and to love him during this time. Interesting, by the way, when Jesus talked about the judgment, I compared this at the first service, I said, if I was going to judge my love for God, I'd say, you know, this is the preacher's prejudice. Or judge your love for God. How much do you sing to God? How much do you pray to God? And how much do you read his word? Okay, you get three A's, you love God. There's no doubt about it. That may be, those are important. But when Jesus gives that exam, he said, how about the sick guy? How about the hungry guy? How about the lonely guy? This is what he is more interested in as we stand before him. And we need his grace and mercy for that change from goat to sheep mentality. Here's the review of the passage. The grace of God. First of all, come blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance prepared before the creation of the world. How, you know, from all eternity, God said, come, I want you to be with me. I want you to be a sheep. And if you just honestly in your own soul, like me, if you say, oh, good heavens, my life looks like a goat most of the time. And it's not a guilt thing. It's a love thing that you say, there's a need before me, so I feel drawn by Christ to go to those. Because Jesus loves this person over here. And it's like ministering to him himself. It's the gift of salvation shown by acts of compassion. And if you're a goat, you say, Lord, make me a sheep. Lord, save my soul so my actions can reflect the wonderful presence of God in my life. Okay? Lord, save my soul so I can reflect the wonderful presence of God in my life. And I can actually minister to Jesus as he leads me to. Simple standard, what you did for my brothers, you did for me. That's Jesus' words. This principle of how we treat others is similar to how we treat Christ is seen in other parts of Scripture. Galatians chapter 4, Paul visits the Galatians who he constantly yelled at. And yet, Paul said, you welcome me as if I was Christ himself. What a great standard for your relationship with people just coming into your circle of friends. You know, if you're a healthy person, you don't just say, these are my two friends, you know, Mike and Mick. Okay. And that's all. And anybody else comes in, they're really not that welcome. But when you see when a person comes to your house, to your sphere of influence, to the fellowship you're in, you know, what a great testimony it would be if a first time visitor comes to any church. So I went to church today. How what was it like? Unbelievable. They treated me like I was Christ himself. Oh, you must be the Apostle Paul. No, I'm just the regular, one who needs God. That's the standard. How we treat others, we treat Christ. This is a James test of sheep and goats. James says, show me your faith by your words, but show me your faith by your works. Right? That's James. And then there's Jesus' warning. Love warns. So Jesus warns. He says, depart from me into the eternal fire. Sobering words. I don't want to hear those words to me, to any of my loved ones, to any person on the planet. So we pray for the salvation of people, and we pass on the gospel. What you did not do for my brothers, you did not do for me. Go away to eternal punishment. John MacArthur, he gives a simple sword application. Whatever you do for another person, you do for Christ. And you know, don't get yourself in a theological tizzy about that. Just do what Jesus asks you to do, okay? You don't have to say, well, but Jesus is up in heaven, and this guy's over here, and is he my brother, and is this tribulation yet? Or now what about this, and what about this? You know, you're just making excuses. Instead of living like the Lord asks us, you and me, to live. These good outreaches to people, you to another person, is evidence of your salvation. And no compassion, as was said, I heard in a sermon this morning, no compassion means there's seriously something wrong in your soul. Okay. But every day you're just kind of driven. Jesus is out there. According to him, using the analogy, he's hungry today. good news to be shared from him. He's a stranger today. He wants welcome. It'd be interesting to ask Jesus, Jesus, are you a stranger in my neighborhood? Jesus, are you a stranger in my house? Or, Jesus, are you a stranger in my country? Then we're going to start welcoming you. And Jesus is the loved one who is in trouble. And the story says this. You as a follower of Jesus, you be a good Samaritan Christian. It's your responsibility, my responsibility. And God can empower us to do that one person at a time. You're not going to turn into Hudson Taylor overnight and give your body to be burned, even with the love of Christ, just immediately. But you'll grow in love and in service. And two things you and I can do. First, we can pray this, which is very critical. Lord, I have been a goat all my life. In any honest evaluation that I do now or that you will do in the future, Jesus, I have been a goat. Because the basic needs of hunger and stranger and sickness have not been on my radar screen. So I ask you, make me a sheep. I ask you to give me love where there is no love. Because ultimately it shows a love for you, dear Jesus, when I love others. So we can pray that prayer. And might God convert our souls to salvation and to obedience as His Holy Spirit talks to us about those things. The salvation comes from Him. It's not, if you do good, He'll save you. It's He saves you to do good. And then you and I can do this. We can help the people God puts right in front of our face. Okay. There be any lonely, any hungry, any in need. To help one person per day is not, God brings that about. Or if you're an aggressive person, you'll be helping two or three. Because the bottom line is, this is how I love Christ. And to love is a powerful, powerful force. And, of course, we need the Lord's help for this. Can't do it without Him. Can't do it without His power and strength. And we don't judge ourselves or judge anybody else, but we do say this. We take Jesus' word seriously, and we know that Him in a heart will produce a sheep. And a sheep will live like this. And God will do it in and through us. So let's pray together. Father, pray for each of us here. Just some quiet time. First, speak to us about sheep behavior and goat behavior. And just this teaching, this warning you gave. Just help our souls be right about this. Here, you speak to us in silent moments here, Lord. And Lord, as you speak to us, we don't look at our sin, we look at our Savior to send us to the need. And it's a need expressed as an act of worship and love for you. It's just such a privilege to serve another person created in your image. And we want to do this consistently, wholeheartedly as a lifestyle. And if somebody says, "Oh, you're a Christian. You're that kind of person that when you see a need, you move toward it." Just like some of these hero firemen, they run toward where the pain is. They don't run away from it. And they say, "Oh, you go to a church. Isn't that a group of people that when they see those needs, they act like they were serving Jesus Himself?" You could say, "Well, by the grace of God, yeah, we do that sometimes. And we're learning how to do that. Jesus, our leader. So empower your people, Lord. Fill us with your love that we might love others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.